going back over the course of the past week, obviously we had major lift in longer-term bond yields running through the later part of the week, and that was the markets starting to question whether there's too much stimulus going into economies which are growing, showing signs of growing strongly, and where the risk of inflation is earlier and higher than central banks are allowing. At the same time as this is happening, we've got central banks starting to ring the wagons round and saying, no, we're still sticking to our guns. Basically, it's still a case that there's some fragility around the economic recovery. As we look further ahead, we have plenty of excess capacity. Inflation is not going to go consistently higher for quite some time to come, and we're prepared to back that view. And so this is the standoff we've reached just for the time being. And what it does do is it puts obviously a great deal more volatility into risk asset markets in particular. And, you know, on the one side, you know, they don't like bond yields going up quicker and faster than expected. It leads to a repricing of what those markets should be showing. But at the same time, the reasons that those bond yields are going up is strong growth. You've still got, and that's not going to stop. It's there in spades over the course of much of this year, and that will be driving earnings much higher for corporates. And so that gives reason to buy the dips from time to time. So I think volatility is going to be what we see running through many of these markets rather than this sell-off progressing too much further. At the same time as the bond yields get capped from time to time by the central banks. Just looking at the data we had over the course of this past week, there's no lack of evidence that the US economy is picking up. You can see it in asset prices, for example. Right at the beginning of the week, last week, we had Case-Shiller house prices, and we've now gone above 10% year-on-year for growth in house prices across America, up from 9.2%. So you've got a lot of strength there underpinning household wealth coming through from house prices in the United States. Other housing indicators that came out through the course of the week, we had January new home sales, which were way stronger than expected, up 4.3%, double market expectations. And the previous month was revised up to a 5.5% increase, so plenty of buying power running through the housing market. The initial jobless claims were different this last week too. They actually came down and way more than the market expected. The market was expecting a minor reduction in initial jobless claims to 843,000 from 861,000. Previous week was revised down to 841,000, but the current week down to 730,000. That's high by historical standards, but a lot lower than where we've been over the last few weeks, and suggests the labour market's getting another wind behind it in the United States, and that we may see that coming through labour market data as we push ahead. We also had testimony from Jerome Powell. And he's still saying, you know, sort of that they need support from stimulus for the U.S. economy, and that includes what's going through Congress at the moment. You know, at the moment, it's a $2.4 trillion additional stimulus, which now needs Senate approval, but got through the lower house last week. That's on top of the four that was announced through the course of various bits and pieces through last year. So massive stimulus support, with the central bank still saying, not scared of inflation, we're still going to hold the line as far as things are concerned. Right at the end of the week, we saw where this stimulus feeds through in terms of the household sector. We had the January personal income and personal spending numbers. Last week I mentioned that we were looking for an outsized lift in personal income for the month. We thought it'd be in the nines, 9% plus. It came in at 10% month on month. These very chunky changes that come from time to time in personal income together with embedded savings that were there when they couldn't spend so freely, giving the household sector one hell of a war chest to spend more freely. And we saw it in the personal spending numbers for the month of January, where they lifted 2.4% month on month after being down 0.4% the month before. So, a lot of strength, as I say, running through the economic numbers in the United States. In one way, that does tend to play to the bond market vigilantes book, where they say, oh, well, that means that inflation's coming back quicker. But the central bank's case is, well, no, you're whistling in the wind, because we still have plenty of excess capacity in the economy. We could grow like this, still the cows come home, and still not have an inflation problem. But the bond market isn't buying that for the time being. So that's why we had that fairly substantial lift in bond yields that we saw, longer-term bond yields that we saw last week. This week in the United States, the focus will be going towards that labour force data, plus also the ISM purchasing managers' reports for the manufacturing sector and the non-manufacturing sector. As far as the labour force is concerned, we have the non-farm payrolls coming up on Friday, and that's the key number really this week. And at this stage, the market expects that average hourly earnings out of that will be up another 0.2%. That means that the annual change on that will be 5.3% year on year, compared with 5.4%. These are pretty strong readings. So it's not just the government stimulus, which is giving the ability for households to spend. Earnings are actually growing pretty well too. 5% is in that territory where you could be underpinning a bit of inflation pressure. Looking at some of the other factors there in the labour force data, we've got non-farm payrolls where the market's expecting 165,000 lift after a 49,000 lift the month before. They're expecting the unemployment rate to stay unchanged at 6.3% where it was going back the month before. Putting the unemployment rate into context and playing to the Federal Reserve's theories, before we got into COVID-19, remember that the US had a very low unemployment rate. It got down into the mid-threes. So it's basically that extra 2.8 percentage points on the unemployment rate they've still got to play with before they even get back to where they were pre-COVID-19, which in itself wasn't putting too much pressure onto the inflation rate. So that's the Federal Reserve Bank's case, and it's also the Reserve Bank's case here, that we've got a long way to go to get these numbers down to where they will consistently add to pressure in the labour market, and will mean that any blips we get in the inflation rate don't come back out again. So these are the sorts of thinkings of the central bank, and they will act on that. So as the bond market tries to take bond yields higher, from time to time, there will be some action from central banks to try and bring those back. And the threat of that at the moment, I think, is starting to, just the threat of that central bank action is probably going to temper the rise we saw in bond yields last week through the early part of this week. It's not going to go away completely. These theories will still come back, but which is why I say it's going to be a case of volatility every now and then. You get bond yields spiking, then you start to see them fall back, and the underlying strength of the economy then plays to buy the dips and hell for risk assets again. So we're going to get a pretty volatile run of it, I think, over the next month or two. In China last week, we had some house price data. That was it. It was still in the back of the holiday period there. And then house prices accelerated to 3.9% year-on-year from 3.8%, so a little bit of growth running through there. We'll get some of their purchasing managers' details today for the month of February, and also the services sector, the private sector CAICS survey comes out later in the week. today we've got both the official manufacturing PMI and non-manufacturing PMI coming out. They were both slightly softer last month. The manufacturing PMI was 51.3, the services sector PMI down to 52.4. And if anything, they're probably going to drift a little bit softer for the readings we get today. There's no market consensus for the services one, but for the manufacturing PMI, they expect that to come down to 51.1 from 51.3. And a similar story for the Caixin surveys that come out midweek on Wednesday. And so the Caixin manufacturing PMI and non-manufacturing PMI were at 51.5, 52 respectively, expected to hold around those levels or a bit softer when those numbers come out. Last week in Australia, we had some interesting numbers too, in that we had the preliminary trade data for the month of January still holding up pretty well. You know, we've got some pullback running through exports at the moment because of sort of lesser exports of raw commodities to China. But so exports fell by 9%, but imports were down by 10%. So as a result of that, the goods trade surplus is still very, very high. It actually went up to $8.7 billion trade surplus. So still quite a deal of strength running through the trade account. We had Q4 wage price index, which was a little bit different from expectations. There was a little bit of movement, more than the market expected. So the market was looking for 0.3% quarter-on-quarter wage price index, which would have actually taken the annual rate of change in the wage price index down to 1.1%. We actually got 0.6 quarter-on-quarter, and it was evenly spread between 0.5% for the private sector and 0.6 for the public sector. And that kept the annual rate of change in wages at 1.4%. In some, there's been a little bit of catch-up in some of the detail running through that wage price index, and we may get the corollary where we get a slightly weaker wage price index when we get Q1 because of some of the changes in methodology from the ABS. So nothing too much to worry about with that one, although it is interesting that, you know, for the first time we had something which was a little bit stronger than expected. We also had some Q4 numbers. We had Q4 construction work done. It didn't, even though we had pretty strong rise running through residential construction, we lost it through non-residential and also the engineering work through the course of the quarter. So Q4 construction work done didn't rise as many people thought it would. It fell by 0.9% after being down 2.6% the quarter before. But on the flip side of that, we had Q4 private new capital expenditure, and this one was actually quite a bit stronger than expected. So new capital expenditure by businesses, this has been the missing part of the recovery story so far. You know, we've certainly got the households starting to spend freely again, and we've got employment running pretty fast as well. What we haven't had running so far is investment spending by businesses for fairly obvious reasons through the course of the pandemic. Well, it's certainly starting to lift now. In Q4, the market thought it'd be up 0.4%. It was up 3% quarter on quarter. That was after falling 3% going back the quarter before that. And it split 0.7% quarter on quarter increase in buildings, and plant and machinery was up 5.7%. So a fair bit of strength starting to show again running through that. Not unexpected given the way in which the economy started to power up. This is obviously going to add to the strength that runs through the GDP number when it comes out this Wednesday. We also had some credit data right at the end of last week for the month of January. It was up 0.2% overall, mostly because business credit and personal loans were relatively soft, but housing is really starting to motor. And we've had 2 months running now, and this is the stock of credit, the total amount of credit outstanding by financial institutions for housing. It rose another 0.4% month on month. So the annual rate of change now, it jumped from 1.8% year on year to 3.6% year on year. And of course, if we keep getting 0.4s and rising to 0.5s and 0.6s, We're going to be getting up to 5% and 6% year on year before we go very much further. So, all that lift in new housing finance now starting to trickle into the stock of housing credit outstanding, and that's starting to show some signs of lifting. This week in Australia, a lot of data coming out. Today we'll get ANZ job ads. They've been rising pretty well the last few months. They rose 2.3% going back last month, and probably another rise of at least that for the current month. We've got January housing finance coming out. Housing finance commitments have just been going through the roof, and we're up 8.6% month on month total. And that's excluding refinancing. So, this is the new housing finance commitments. They're running up over 30% year on year. They're probably going to rise at least another 5 or 6% for the figure we get today. We also get some fourth quarter business inventories, company profits. Company profits probably had a fallback. Expect to come down about 4% quarter on quarter after rising 3.2% the quarter before. Inventories, though, are expected to lift slightly by 0.2% after falling 0.5% going back the quarter before. We then tomorrow go into home building approvals, which were really strong going back to December, up 10.9%, so overdue for a bit of a correction, perhaps down 3%. We'll get the net export contribution for GDP coming out tomorrow. Going back to Q3, net exports detracted 2 percentage points from GDP growth. It'll be nothing like as bad as that for Q4. It might even be a slight positive. The market thinks minus 0.3. I wouldn't be at all surprised to see a positive sign on that when that comes out tomorrow. We've got the RBA meeting, and it's going to be interesting because they have to say a bit more about interest rates than they've been saying. Obviously, you've got this movement in bond yields. There'll be some commentary about that. You'd think it'd have to be there in the accompanying statement. But I suspect at this stage it'd be along the lines that the RBA still holds to its view. No change on that. They don't expect to be lifting official rates for a long time to come. So that in itself becomes a bit of an anchor on how far the longer-term bond yields can push up. On Wednesday, we get Q4 GDP. The market consensus on this is that it will lift 2.5% quarter-on-quarter, after lifting 3.3% quarter-on-quarter the quarter before. As a result of that, the annual change will come down to minus 1.8% year-on-year from minus 3.8%. Put that minus 1.8% in context. The year-on-years for the US were around about 7, and for somewhere like the UK was close to 10%. So much of Europe it's over 5%. Relatively, Australia did very well in Q4 and is still accelerating, running through the first quarter of this year as well. We get some international trade data for January and retail trade data running into Thursday, and the international trade balance will be strong, around $6.5 billion surplus for the month. And retail trade, we already had the preliminary figure of that. It was plus 0.6%. It won't be very much different from that. Out of Europe last week, only one figure of note, and that was February business and consumer confidence. And it lifted more than expected. So even in Europe, things are starting to lift now. Went up to 93.4 from 91.5. Market was looking for 92 there. And this week in Europe, we'll get some manufacturing data, their CPI for the most recent month. The CPI is going to be around 1% year on year. The manufacturing PMI will probably lift to 57.7 from 54.8. The services sector PMI go slightly the opposite direction because of lockdowns, so down to 44.7 from 45.4. And we'll also get some retail sales data and the unemployment rate towards the end of the week. January retail sales will have been affected by the more severe lockdowns, but these are changing now. They're starting to talk about lifting these, but January was still a bad month for them, so probably down about 1.1% month on month after being up 2% the month before, and the unemployment rate holding around 8.3%. But all told, when we're looking at the data, still running towards strong economic growth. Difference in view between the bond market and central banks at this point. Bond markets are saying you've overdone it with stimulus. You're going to get such strong economic growth, it'll lead to inflation coming back sooner than expected. Central banks are saying you're whistling down the wind, bond market. Basically, we've still got plenty of excess capacity. Look no further than the unemployment rates and the amount of excess capacity we've still got running through that. We could stimulate like this till the cows come home and we wouldn't end up with a problem on the inflation front. And so this is the battleground between the central banks and the bond market. And it won't be going all in one direction. It'll be quite a volatile process, I suspect, over the next month or so.